even the good ones were locked up in Abraham's bosom. Remember the story of Lazarus and all that kind of stuff, right? Jesus said to the thief on the cross, this day you will be with me in paradise, right? Okay. He, in the power of his resurrection, brought all of them out. It tells us very plainly, he preached to the spirits in prison, and he led them captive. Some of them stopped off in Jerusalem on the way up. It said many of the saints, of the Old Testament saints, appeared in the streets of Jerusalem. What's that, Matthew? The day of the avenging of our God. The enemy had come in from the beginning. Now, before I get too far, let me give you this word, nakam. Okay? That's the word there for avenging. Nakam. It means to come against the one responsible for something bad done to you or your family or friends in order to achieve justice. Okay? Something done, harm, punishment, something to come against the one responsible for something bad done to you or your family or your friends in order to achieve justice. The enemy, through the serpent in the garden, had done something bad to God's family. His children. He deceived them. He put them in bondage. And then all of those men and women and children over all of those thousands of years that were abused by the enemy, their intentions and motivations totally screwed up. They didn't even realize who they were. They began to worship a God that's not God. They began to try to do things that were awful. It got so bad that he had to wipe everything out and start over again. Remember that? The flood. Okay? All of these things had gone on. And for all of that time, the Father had been preparing, working things out into place for the day that the enemy was going to get his. He had done something wrong to his family. Okay? And there was going to be an avenging. And we've talked about this before, but this is not a retribution. It's not an eye for an eye or tooth for tooth. It's doing something in order to achieve justice. It's to right a wrong. And when we talk about Jubilee, when we talk about the ministry of Jesus, he came here to right, well, you're going to say the biggest wrong that's been on the planet. Okay? And he had lorded it over men for all those years. Well, doesn't have to be that way anymore. Jesus has already come and announced it. He proclaimed it. He told the people this is the time for it. And then that time of the avenging took place, and now we're on the back side of that. He said, all authority, both in heaven and earth, has been given to me. So I'm living in you. Let's go. Let's go out everywhere and tell people that they don't have to be poor anymore, that they don't have to be destitute, that they don't have to be blind. Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim glad tidings to the ones who will humble themselves to receive, to open their eyes that they will see that Jesus has set them free, and to remove from oppression, to bring to restoration those being crushed or oppressed by the enemy, for God is with him. That's his ministry. And he's never stopped. And yes, in that mysterious way, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, but in that just as mysterious way, he lives, he is living in you because of his Spirit. Hate to use Star Wars as an example, but since everybody's seen the movies, everybody knows what happened to Obi-Wan, right? When he gave himself up and died, and he said, I'm going to be more powerful than you know. Okay, that was just a picture. They got that off Jesus. They didn't come up with it on their own. When he died, when he was resurrected, he sent his Spirit into the earth. That's God still. Say God in a body. Do you know that's who you are? He's in there. He sent his Spirit into you. He sent his Spirit in the earth to live in and through. And for 3 weeks, I've been wanting to say that very plainly. And we'd always get to the end. I'd run out of time, and I didn't just emphasize this idea. This truth that he is making himself visible, manifest through you when you'll let him, where we started off, the fragrance of the knowledge of you, of him through you in every place. Look over to Acts 10:38. I'll stop. Peter put this beautifully. It's kind of like taking everything we've said for the last 35 minutes and bringing it down into one verse of scripture. Peter fully understood at this moment, having been there with Jesus for 3.5 years, having been there in the upper room, having been baptized in the Holy Ghost, having experienced the power of God, having walked a couple days later there before the temple and seen the lame man who had been there for over 30 years and grabbed him and said, "Get up in the name of Jesus," right? Peter understood everything we've talked about, and he put it all into a single thing that Luke recorded, and we divided it up and said it's going to be called Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Okay? Do you understand?